So, have you ever just fallen down a YouTube rabbit hole and you're just like, how did I even fall down this rabbit hole?
Oh yeah, man. So here recently, I've actually been really falling down the rabbit hole, starting with the Cat Williams interview with Shannon Sharp, and then going to Monique's interview with Shannon Sharp, and just kind of digging back with some of the stuff that they were saying, bro. It's wild. And then you look at some previous interviews on YouTube, it's just insane because a lot of it was truth, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah, it's wild. I fell down that rabbit hole too, but what I also fell down the rabbit hole of is because we've been talking about planning this cruise with all of us, right? And so I was just researching, like, okay, what ship are we going to be on? Okay, now I need to watch a YouTube video about what the ship's going to look like. Okay, now I need to do a YouTube video about what to do on the cruise, and now I need a YouTube, and then it just kept going and going and going, and I kept hitting on different YouTube videos, and I was like, it is 10 o'clock at night, and me and my wife are watching YouTube videos about cruise drink package deals. Like, who are we?
You know what, man? 29 going on 85. What can I say? What can I say, man? But you know that it's not a bad rabbit hole to go down. There's all sorts of rabbit holes on YouTube. There's like extremely negative. Sometimes I get on these Vice kicks. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched Vice on YouTube or like, especially some of the older ones. Like when the founder of Vice goes to North Korea and stuff like that, and I find some of that. You can go on so many rabbit holes. Heck, you could even learn a lot on YouTube if you wanted to, just passively.
Oh yeah, it's true. Well, hi, I'm Chris,
and I'm Micah,
and this is the Donut Box Podcast. Well, man, another episode, another week. I want to first start off the episode by saying we are sorry for your loss, right? Micah had a loss of a family member, and we want to dedicate this episode to her, and so we're so sorry for your loss, and we're praying for you guys as y'all are going through that.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks so much. It's been a tough time, but we're making it. You know, death is never easy, but at the same time, it's sometimes it is the chance for some new beginnings, which is a really cool thing. So it's hoping for the best and planning for all of it. But appreciate the condolences. Thank you, Trash Can Nation, for all your support. And we really appreciate it, man.
We'll pour one out for Momo. That's what we'll do. We'll pour a 40 out for some of y'all don't even know what that
Yeah, there we
means.
go. There we go. Gotta pour a drink for the homies, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, all right, man. Well, I tell you what, I was looking at RSS feed, man, and you know, our hotspots have been booming. We've had quite a bit of movement and everything like that. I'm still psyched about the continent of Africa and getting into the continent of Africa. We've had it for a little bit now, but still looking at it on the map, it's incredible to see us across Europe into Africa now, into North America. Australia's still really popping. Oceania, which you know, it used to be Australia and Oceania. Do you know they consider Oceania like all the islands of the Pacific a continent now? I heard that somewhere and I was like, I didn't know. I thought they just looped that in with Australia. But anyways, it's like we started to have some island folks listening to us, even down into the Caribbean, like Trinidad and Tobago. Like, man, it's incredible to watch. You know, starting this thing, and I'll, you know, get off this thing, but starting this thing, I never thought our voices would be heard across the country like it is across our country, the United States, much less around the world. And so it's really I don't know, it's really a heartwarming thing, and it's really, really cool. I never thought that we would be in this spot.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if you are a brand new or returning listener, welcome back. The way this works is each donut is a different segment, and we always love to start off with the old-fashioned donut, which is a story from our past. Now, this happened probably, oh wow, is this 2021? This happened almost 3 years ago, dude.
That's incredible to think about, man. It's been that blew away. But this is the week from hell. This was a really, really bad week, man. And so I'm gonna start off.
I will say it was more of a bad week for you. For me, it was okay, but it was definitely a bad week for you.
Yeah, we'll get to how it was a bad time for you here in a little bit. Okay, so to start off, I had this car, and this Speaking of the person who passed away, it happens to be my wife's grandmother. May she rest in peace. We actually wanted to come down to San Antonio when we were living in Lubbock and visit them. We would come down periodically. Well, the car that I had just days before broke down. Like, the car broke down. And so, have you ever had one of those times, Christopher, where your car breaks down and it's like, okay, well, while I'm at it, I might as well, there were some other routine maintenance items. If I'm going to spend the money, I might as well just spend all the money at one time and try to get it all taken care of at one go, even if it's just regular routine maintenance like oil change, changing the brakes, whatever, right? You just try to get that all done in one go. So to try to get down there, the problem I was having with the car was I had the radiator was out, and so the car kept overheating. And I know you've had some fun times with that, have you not, Christopher?
Yes, I have. And to go back to your point, I actually had that happen where the car was overheating and I was 30 minutes away from home, and I took it to the mechanic because I was like, hey, I'm taking a trip in a couple weeks. This is what I'm worried about. I'm worried about it overheating. Is it going to be okay for me to take on this trip? They said yes, and it overheated, and it basically almost died in Houston. And so I was pretty mad that they told me that it would make it. But anyways, back to your story.
Yeah, heck yeah. Now, radiator is no fun. Overheating car is one of the worst things that you can ever experience. Not just because it's, if you've never had it happen, consider yourself lucky. But it's not just the fact that it's a piece of your car going out and your car is not running like it should. I mean, your car is literally overheating. So you smell burning, and there's smoke billowing a lot of the time. You open that hood and all this smoke be pouring out. It's not a fun time. We tried to fix the problem. At first we thought it was some hoses, right? We saw one hose was busted. And so, I like to work on my own vehicles, and so I thought I could fix it. So I said, you know what, let me try to replace these hoses. So I did replace the hoses, and I mean, it was a pain in the rear end, man. It was a pain in the rear end. And then I also replaced the serpentine belt because it really needed to be replaced. And if you've ever replaced a serpentine belt, it's really, really hard sometimes because you have to release the tension and all this other stuff. I won't go into that. But essentially, it took me... I ordered a serpentine belt, and you can't drive a car without one on your vehicle. And I bought a wrong size online. Because if not, for whatever reason, this car, I had to get the... It's either you buy the part online, or I had to go to the dealership to get it. Like, it was not a regular part that just AutoZone carried, right? So I ordered it online. Come to find out, I ordered a size too small. So I couldn't get it on there to save my life. And so I had to order another one. Long story short, it took a matter of 3 days to get all of this maintenance done, to get all the radiator parts done, to get all the hoses replaced, to get the serpentine belt done. And then I also changed the oil and changed the brakes. So pretty much, man, it's like, oh man, this trip is not, or this car is not only ready for this trip, you know, it's extremely ready for this trip, you would think, right? And so anyways, call her grandparents and say, yeah, we'll be down there this weekend. This was like a Thursday when we get done. And so we're going to leave the next day. We left on Friday morning really early. And this was in the summertime in Texas. And, Just for reference, going from Lubbock down to San Antonio, the heat is different in both places. And when you're in the between, it's kind of odd too, because Lubbock is a very dry place. San Antonio, I wouldn't say is, like where we grew up in Georgia, it wasn't as like swampy and super high humidity like that, but it is really hot. Like, I mean, it feels like an oven outside.
It's like going into an oven. It's like somebody opened an oven. And you're standing in front of it. That's what it feels like.
You know, we'll talk about my wedding, and those poor people had to stand outside in San Antonio in June, and that's when it was still semi-mild, and it was still hot. Anyways, so coming down there, you know, it's midday, and we're about midway through this journey, and we've taken this journey many, many times, so we're very familiar with the route. And, you know, we've had all these problems with the car, right? And... So all of a sudden we start hearing this tapping noise. Well, right a few weeks beforehand, One of the other problems I had with the car was the license plate holder in the front broke. And for whatever reason, and so instead of getting a replacement for it, what I did was I'll be honest, I did a little bit of a jank job, and I zip tied the, gotta love zip ties, I zip tied it to the front.
I've seen several people do that. And by the way, in Texas, it is required by law for you to have a license plate on the back of your car and the front of your car.
And they will pull you over very fast if you don't. Or even, like, I've had a vehicle before. In fact, it was that vehicle. I tried to put it in the mirror, like the front window, and I still got pulled over. They said it wasn't displayed properly in the front window. Like, it has to be on the front of the vehicle. Anyways, so I thought that the bottom of the license plate, like maybe the zip tie or something, had come loose and it was tapping like really hard onto the front of the vehicle, and that's what the flapping noise was. So I thought, you know, no big deal. We're going 70 miles down the road. The biggest concern I had was it's going to flap so hard that it's going to fly off and it's going to damage my car somewhere, or it's going to fly off and go into the, or whatever. So we're about 15 miles away from another town, and so I said, you know what, like, well, once we get to that next town, I'll pull into a gas station and I'll fix it. So we're going down the road, and the tapping gets stronger and stronger and stronger until finally it starts getting really rapid, and then finally to the point where it went ka-dink, and I heard like a big sound. And what I thought was, it sounded so strong, it sounded like the license plate had broke off of the front of the car, went underneath the car, hit a bunch underneath the car, and went back. So I'm looking back down the road behind me, thinking that my license plate is bent all out of shape back here somewhere, right? And I'm gonna need to stop. I keep looking, and nothing has happened. And by this point, the car is not running. Like, the engine has shut off, all the lights pop on, and we're just rolling. And I'm going up. That's not the license plate, that's something bigger. And what was, we were on this curve, and I'm sure you know exactly what curve I'm talking about. There's a big curve in the road, and you have to take a right there to go to Ballinger, Texas. And there's this big curve, and we pulled over on the curve. And when I say this is the middle of nowhere, like, there's no houses for miles. It is farmers' fields. Like, there is nothing out there at all. And it's super hot, and we have a dog in the back of the car, and you know, can't run the car, so no AC. Luckily, luckily, I had through my insurance, I had paid for roadside assistance. So I said, okay, no big deal. I'll just call my insurance company and get the roadside assistance. And they said, all right, no problem. So they sent a guy out. It took him 2 hours to get out there. So that was a little bit, like, 2 hours doesn't sound like a long time, but when you're in the Texas sun in a vehicle that, and you can't get out because what's on the right-hand side here is a farmer's field, right? And what's on the left-hand side is it's a highway in the middle of nowhere, yes, but it's not like you want to go walking around on the highway, right? There's truckers and everything else going, and that's part of the reason you also don't want to get out either. You know, these trucks going 70 miles an hour fling stuff up, and you know, it could be dangerous. There's all sorts of stuff, right, that could happen. So it's just like, stay in the vehicle. We try to, you know, have as much water as possible. Finally, the tow truck driver gets out there, drives us into town. By this time, it's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and if you know anything about Texas, like, 4 or 5 in the afternoon is like heat of the day. That's when it gets, that's, it's been cooking all day, and it doesn't start getting cooler until the sun goes down. And we get to the town, and we get to the mechanic shop. They get the car in there, and you know, I just remember they didn't have a lobby. So, like, imagine. It was so nice to get into this tow truck, because it's like, oh man, you got AC. It's so nice. It's, you know, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and then, you know, our dog, and we're like, oh man, this is so nice. Then we get back into town, and then we had to sit back outside in the heat again, going, okay. And then, so right when we get there, they like fill out, we had to fill all this paperwork, all this good jazz. Then they say, okay, we're going, they all start packing up to go home. And it's like, oh yeah, it's 5 o'clock. And I'm going, oh man, so like, what are we gonna do? And this is a very, very small town. And so I told my wife, I said, what we need to do is there on the other side of town is a it was a rat hole motel. Like, I mean, it was a really, really bad motel. And I said, the best thing that I can say, we need to cool off. I'm sure that they would accept dogs if, you know, we paid the extra fee or whatever. Like, let's just get a night there. Call your dad and, you know, have him come down here and help us, 'cause he was only about 3 hours away from where we were at. And so we call her dad, and luckily enough, the mechanic was really nice and took us over. Like, it wasn't a far walk, but you're talking, we'd been in the heat all day, right? Like, it was a terrible time. So he was nice enough to take us over there. We got a room, and I'll never, man, have you ever been through one of those hard experiences where you're like, we were in a rat hole motel, sitting there watching the first 48, and I thought maybe I had like died and gone to heaven. Like, I looked at my wife, and it's just like, did we die from the heat? Is this really like true? Because it just feels like after all this like terrible time, just being in the AC is like, man, this is so nice. This is so nice just to and to kind of have that safety feeling. Anyways, her dad came down, and we went up to his house, and we were figuring things out. The mechanic shop gets back to me and says, yeah, you literally shot a piston into the oil pan, which is just about as bad as it sounds. If you don't know anything about cars, piston into an oil pan, basically you need a whole new engine, is what's going to happen. And I'll be honest, this car was not one that I felt was worth that. And so I talked to the guy, and he said, you know, I'll buy it for you from scrap. And he gave me a price. And so I said, all right. So I called my good buddy Christopher, because I knew his days off were Monday, and I needed to get this taken care of. And so I said, hey, buddy. Not like that one girl with the voicemail, but hey, buddy, how would you like to go down and, you know, we can finalize this deal and sell this car? So he was a great friend, said, yeah, no problem. Let's make this a road trip. We left real early. We get down to the small town. Luckily, it's like the courthouse, and the DMV was like right there. So we just signed all the paperwork over. He gave me the cash, and we're rolling back up to Lubbock. Now, this is where the fun part for Chris starts coming in. I'll let you tell this part.
Oh yeah, so again, this town was 3 hours away, right? Get down there, sign it. Well, all great, right? We're in Lubbock, and we're almost to Micah's house, right? We are literally 10 minutes away from his house, and we're driving in the most left-hand lane, okay? Because we're trying to get home. We're already like, all right, let's go home. Get Micah home and let me enjoy the rest of my day. And I don't know what happened, but the lady that was in the lane to the right of us, I don't know if she saw us or what, but she just like swerves and it's like coming into our lane like at 70 miles an hour. I guess we were in her blind spot. And so me, I was like, holy crap, I'm not gonna let this lady like hit us. So what do I do? My natural reaction is to avoid her. So I swerve so she doesn't hit Micah. And we hit the barrier like that's dividing the middle of the road, right? And so we got into an accident, and it was boom, airbags go off, and again we hit the barrier at 70 miles an hour, not full on, thank God. It was just part of the car. But I remember the nurse coming up and being like, hey, are you guys okay? We just saw what happened. She was trying to like, she called the ambulance, everything. And we were just like, holy crap, whatever, whatever. This and the person that made us have the accident, they pull off like 10 mile, like maybe I'd say 30 feet away, and they're just sitting there waiting, right? And I'm like, okay, we're gonna at least get all the information.
I would say it was probably about 100, and it was probably about 100 feet, because there was an exit right there, and they were like on the other side of like the exit ramp, and we were on the left-hand side like before the exit, and so they were way up here, and they had pulled off with their hazards on, and it was enough distance to where I don't think we could have seen the license plate from where we were sitting at. Like, I couldn't see it from there. It was that far away, but we could still see the car pretty real well.
Yeah, we couldn't see it, and the nurse was like, "We're the lady that was behind us. She was like, we're just, I'm just gonna stay with you till the police get here." The police get there, the ambulance get there. They're asking Micah all these questions, like, okay, are you okay? Like, they're asking, making sure he doesn't have a concussion. And right as the ambulance and police pull up, then the people that hit us, like, dart off. And we're just like, hey, we're trying to tell the police. I was like, hey, that's the person that got, like, did this, da-da-da-da. They tried to go find him, but they didn't actually hit our car, so they couldn't really look for any, like, markings or anything like that. And so they're like, hey, do you need to go to the hospital? And Micah's like, yeah, I probably need to go to the hospital. And Micah's girlfriend's like,
And they kind of convinced me, 'cause like my back was really hurting, right? But it was hard to tell. We hit a barrier going 65, right? So it's like it's hard to tell, and it's hard because it's like, is this just my back hurting and I'm sore because of like maybe some whiplash? 'Cause whiplash, they can't do anything for you really. And so I was sitting here going, I really don't know if I should go. And I remember like the ambulance guy was like really impatient. He was like, well, if you need to make the decision like right now. And he's like, I would go because you might be having internal bleeding. And, you know, even if it just hurts, like you might bleed to death like internally. Like we don't know what's going on. And so I was like, all right, fine. Like take me. And so, like, they take me in the ambulance. And by the way, ambulance rides are terrible. That is a metal box going down the road. And when your back's hurting, like, that is the least place that you want to be. Anyways, so we get to the hospital, and I get there via ambulance and everything. And, bro, that hospital that is there in Lubbock is the worst, when it comes to ER visits. I've had other experiences, but this one was really bad. And, you know, I came in on an ambulance, you know, from a car accident, and they wheel me in. Immediately they're like, okay, we're gonna get your vitals and we're gonna have you do x-rays. Well, they bring me in on a wheelchair, right? And you gotta think, I had just got into a car accident. I had also just went in an ambulance ride. My back is really hurting. And they're like, yeah, we need you to stand up for the scan. And I was like, yeah, that's fine, but can I have like something to hold on to or something? 'Cause like it was hurting real bad, you know? And they're like, nope, you have to stand straight and all this, and like they wouldn't give you nothing. And I was like, I understand that, but at the same time, like they were just real rude about it, right? And so finally they were like, all right, well, sit in this wheelchair and don't move your head because you could have some sort of like neck paralysis or something like that, right? So by this time, you know, my wife, Chris, and now Chris's wife, that was the first time that I had met her, was actually in the ER. We're now here, and we sat there and sat there, and like I got in there at 4 o'clock, and I just to keep the story short, at midnight, because I remember telling my wife, I said, at midnight, we're gonna go up there. And I'm gonna, like, 4 p.m. We got there at 4 p.m. And by the time it was midnight, I said, I'm sick of this. If I was gonna die or I had internal bleeding, like, I would have been dead by now. So, like, I think we're fine. I am gonna go home and take some Advil and go to bed. You know? And so 12 o'clock rolled around and they were all huffy about it. They're like, oh, you're leaving? It's like, yeah, man. Like, we're leaving. I'm tired of this. And we had to sign all this paperwork and they were all upset about it. And also, another note, they played Hannibal Lecter over and over in the ER, and I couldn't turn my head. So that was a nice few hours of watching Hannibal Lecter over and over, too.
It was wild, man. It was crazy. We got a check out of the thing, a little check from since you had to go to the hospital, you got a little check from the insurance company, and
And we spread the
I only
wealth.
had to pay a $500 deductible, and yeah, it was all good. It all worked out.
Yeah, it all worked out, man. But that all happened within the matter of a few days. That was probably one of the worst weeks I've ever had in my life, just mainly because there were so many highs and lows. You get that car fixed, all for it to go out, spend hundreds of dollars to do that, and you know, all this stuff happens. But you know what? It all worked out well, and we could laugh about it.
Yeah, we can all laugh about it. Well, I'm going to skip the next segment. I'm going to head right into the donut hole.
Dude, do it. What's up?
Well, you know we like to play games, and on the Lost episode of last week, the one we originally recorded, we played a game, and it was trivia about how well Micah knows me. But I can't give him the same questions now because, I mean, we already did that one. So my wife and I, we haven't finished. We're a little over halfway through. We watched Oppenheimer, which is the movie about the guy that made the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be cool, not World War II trivia, but just American history trivia in general. We've done it a couple of times, but this is all different than the quizzes that we've had before. So we'll see how well you know your American history.
Sounds good. I love history, so hopefully I know some of these.
All right, number one, who was the first U.S. president to appear on TV? A. Harry Truman, B. Herbert Hoover, C. FDR, or D. JFK?
It's not Hoover because Hoover was way too early for television. I'm going to say Truman.
It's actually FDI.
FDR. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. He was very, I mean, heck, he had four terms, so, and he was very, big on media with his little fireside chats and such.
Yeah, freaking old Oswald Cobblepot looking dude. Okay, all right. Number two. What was the first war that the U.S. officially declared war on another nation? A. The Revolutionary War. B. The War of 1812. C. The French and Indian War. Or D. The Civil War.
And you said the first official one that they declared against the nation?
Yeah, that the U.S. officially declared war on another nation.
I feel like there's a lot of technicalities with this question. I'm going to say the War of 1812.
That is correct. I thought the Revolutionary War might trick you up, but the U.S. wasn't the U.S., it was just the colony.
It was just the colonies. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, there's some technicality with this question. But yeah, the War of 1812 wasn't. One more thing about it. Wasn't the War of 1812, wasn't it mostly in the like nautical? Wasn't it mostly sea warfare? Like there wasn't a ton of ground troop fighting, I don't think. I think it was a lot like ocean-wise.
Which of the U.S. colonies was first to become a state, to officially declare to become a state? A. Pennsylvania, B. Georgia, C. New York, or D.
It's
Delaware?
not Georgia. Pennsylvania? I want to say Pennsylvania.
It's actually Delaware.
Delaware. I should have known it was gonna be Delaware because nothing else happened to Delaware.
Wait, I got a cheesy joke for you. What did Delaware?
Say what now?
What did Delaware? I got a joke for you. What did Delaware? A New Jersey. Get it?
Yep. That was hilariously cheesy.
Number four. Who was the first U.S. president to be given an official code name by the Secret Service? A. Harry Truman, B. Grover Cleveland, C. Teddy Roosevelt, or D. JFK?
I'm gonna say JFK.
It was actually Harry Truman. His nickname was the General.
Harry Truman. The general, huh? Oh, Gappy McGee. Oh, Gap Tooth Truman.
Number five. In what year did Apple release the first iPod? A. 1999, B. 2001, C. 2003, or D. 2005?
I'm gonna say 2001.
In which city was Christmas banned from 1659 to 1681? A. New York, B. Charleston, C. Philadelphia, or D. Boston?
That's a good one. I don't know. I'm gonna guess New York.
It's actually Boston.
It's actually Boston. What?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that Christmas was actually banned from 1659 to 1681. I don't know why it was, but.
I was like, I wonder if there was a reason for that. That is very interesting.
All right. Number seven. The Revolutionary War ended in which city? A. Boston, B. Yorktown, C. Philadelphia, or D. Savannah?
It was Yorktown, right?
When was the last time the Liberty Bell rung? 1846, 1860, 1839, or 1865?
1860. No, it's 60, right? 1860?
No, it's 1846.
1846. You know, that's something I never understood why that was such a big deal. It's a bell with a crack in it. I mean, I get it, but same time.
It's America's bell, Micah. That's why.
Like, I understand that, but there's plenty of bells on a ship. Like, I don't understand why this one got a crack in it. We find it so special, but.
Who was the first woman in the U.S. to become a millionaire? Oprah Winfrey, Amelia Earhart, Madam C.J. Walker, or D. Ella Fitzgerald?
I'm gonna say Amelia Earhart. I could see her being a millionaire pretty early on.
It's actually Madam C.J. Walker.
Oh, okay.
It's also Black History too, as well. All right.
Very nice.
Who was the first American to win a Nobel Peace Prize? A. Nikolai Tesla, B. Martin Luther King Jr., C. Thomas Edison, or D. Teddy Roosevelt?
It was Teddy Roosevelt, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was good old Theodore himself.
Yeah, old Teddy did a lot of good stuff, man. He was kind of a crazy dude too. Read about him. He had some crazy times.
Yes, he was. Well, that was American History Trivia. You did fairly well. You did very good.
Man, there were some hard ones in there. You threw me some curveballs in there.
Had to make it hard, man. Had to make it hard for sure. Well, we are gonna move into our next segment, which is what fries my donuts? Hey, Micah, what fries your donuts this week, buddy?
And I'm going to try to make this short. People who just talk and never present solutions. So you know what, man? I had something happen this week. And I don't know about you. So I work virtually at this point, which is a blessing, but it could also be quite agitating because you're trying to get your work done and some of these meetings go a little bit interesting. So first and foremost, the meeting doesn't start on time, and it rarely ever does. Most of the time, they'll wait 5 minutes in, but this particular meeting, we wait 5 minutes, and okay, we're going to wait for stragglers. And the first 5 minutes of that meeting is where people are talking, and that's where you hear all the stuff that you don't want to hear. The people are sitting there talking about, yep, and it's like the year 2020, I spent $1,300 on Candy Crush. And it's just like, okay, why are you telling us this? But anyway, so you get through them 5 minutes, and I kid you not, this is what happened after the 5 minutes. Okay, let's take a vote to see if we should get started now or not. This meeting happened at 1 o'clock, so now we're at 1:08 when we finally agree via vote that we can now start this meeting. So now we're at 1:08. And by the way, this is a 30-minute meeting, and the whole point of this meeting is supposed to be to discuss big major problems. This is where you have three of the major bosses there to where you can get some of these problems out there. They can give you what they think about it, and you can kind of go from there, right? Kind of a sounding board thing. And we only have this once a month, so it's a very precious 30 minutes worth of time. And so they said, okay, now that we voted to get started, let's get started. What's the first thing somebody wants to bring up? And so guy raised his hand, his name, and he's like, yeah, we're having this problem because we have this big push having people come back to work into the office 3 days a week, and we're having problems with our agents and their lunches getting stolen from the break room. I kid you not, bro. This is a full real life conversation. And so the first they like somebody chimes in and says, "Oh, okay. Well, here's what we should do. We need to have a system where it's a sign-in system where there's a clipboard at the very front of the door to the break room. And you have to sign in and sign out. That way we can see who's been in and who hasn't been there." And so that suggestion goes out there, and I'm like, well, that's kind of dumb. Why is that dumb? Because there is a camera that is literally in the corner of the room that faces the two fridges to where you can see everything that's going on. So I go off of mute and say, hey, why don't we just check the camera footage? We have access to do that. Why don't we check the camera footage? We can see who's been stealing food, and then we reprimand them for it. It goes quiet for a minute, and then they pick up with another idea. Here's the next idea. Here's what we'll do. We will have the sticky note system with a name, and we'll have a lunch sign-out system. And basically, what's going to happen is you'll have a sticky note with a number on it. And this sticky note with the number will coincide with the list that we have. So we'll know if you're like, no, I'll be number 76. And we'll put that sticky note on there, and it'll say 76. So we'll know, that's so and so's lunch based on the list. And if we see it out on the floor, then we could say, oh, that's not your lunch because that's not your sticky note. Then they go, oh, no, that's not going to work. Then they go to this, and this was the one that took the cake for me, Christopher, that really just got me going. They said, our main man over here who's been working on innovation, He has been working on this barcode system. And Christopher, as a man who used to be in the grocery industry, please tell me something, because I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think barcodes have been around for quite a bit. This is not a new bit of technology, correct? In fact, I think I remember being at Fort Discover, the little science center, and being able to scan barcodes back then, and that was in the early 2000s. I even remember it late in the early or in the late 90s when Walmart still had smiley faces and smiley face stickers and whatnot. But I digress. So we're sitting there, and let's have this barcode system. And basically, what we'll do is we'll need to get a tablet in there or something. And basically, we'll have these barcodes. The agent will be able to print this barcode. It'll be attached to them. And then, whenever they take their lunch out, we'll have a scanner in there. They'll scan the barcode. It'll go back to the tablet reader, and it will say, okay, so and so checked out their lunch. That way, we can keep account for it. Mind you, this is a 30-minute meeting. We have gotten all the way to this point. It is now 1:27. Finally, the boss chimes in and says, "You know what? I think I like the idea about the camera the best. Let's just pull up the camera footage and watch the camera footage." So 27 minutes, and we just went to one of the very original points about the camera footage and all this stuff. Because that really fries my donuts, man. Because you know what the next thing was? A colleague who's also a very good friend of mine, he says, "Yes, because they said, okay, we have 2 minutes left. Does anybody have something else to say?" And he had a very serious budgetary question that really needed in-depth conversation, and they had 2 minutes. And now he's got to wait a whole month to get their attention again because we talked about lunches being stolen and cock and bull stories about, oh, your theories about, oh, let's do sticky notes and barcodes and all this other. It don't make sense, man. That's what fries my donuts. People are just wasting time. I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but that's some garbage. I know it's a long story, but it blew my mind that this is what's happening in real life, that we took 30 minutes to talk about something like this.
Yeah, it's wild, dude. It's always funny whenever like we have stuff to do, 'cause whether it's moving or doing anything, and I'm like, if it has anything to pertain to me, I honestly just go do it on my own, 'cause I'm like, I know what's gonna happen. There's gonna be about six of you that are just gonna stand around and discuss for 20 minutes about how we're gonna do this thing. Like, I hate that crap. I'm like, let's just do it, bro. Like, we're just gonna do it. I'm not gonna discuss like 20 minutes on big stuff, yes, but like on little stuff like that, yeah, I hate that little stuff. It's time eaters, it's time wasters. It's like, why am I even in this?
I don't deny that it's a problem, and I don't deny that there's some frustration there. I can understand. I've had my lunch stolen. Chris has had his lunch stolen before. It is not fun experience, and it makes you very mad. So I understand why it's a problem, but again, it's time and place. It's time and place. These are things that we can solve very easily outside of this meeting.
Yeah, that could have been sent in an email. For sure.
Yeah, it could have been done in an email chain. We could have figured it all out. But anyways, man, that's the stuff that fries me up. And a lot of the times, and a lot of times these companies and a lot of these places that I've worked for that, have these things go on, they wonder why. It's like, why are we not as productive as we could be? I can tell you why. It's for things like that. And again, it's always when you have a ton of stuff to do is when these things come about and you're going, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for 30 minutes about pontificating about this stuff. But anyways, man, that's what fries my donuts. But yeah, man, that's what fries my donuts.
Yeah, well, let's move into the next segment, which is the mystery donut, and that's our improv segment. So, Michael, what do we have on the books for today?
Man, we have bad presentation. So Chris and I are going to come up with ways to our topics to present, but in a bad way. The worse, the better.
I'll choose yours first.
Okay.
All right, you have to present to me a record player.
Okay.
Wait, never mind. Nobody knows what that is. Hold on, scratch that. You have to present to me a sofa.
A sofa? Well, if you see here, the cushions are the best part of this sofa. If you lay down on this sofa, it feels like a bed of nails. Why? Because it is a bed of nails. Lay down on it. We'll see if physics is really true or if it impales your back. You know what? I'll tell you what. Nothing's better after a long day than sitting on a bed of nails and saying, ooh, let's just rub that in. Because I'll tell you what. Don't you just want to pile up with your butt? I mean, and look, we'll even provide the bed of nails. You know what? What's better than a 2x4 pillow with nails embedded in it? And we'll give those to you for free. You know what? We'll stack those there, and you know what? If you act right now, oh, this is the best deal of all. We will give you a free mattress of nails. That's right. You know what? It's going to be a pull-out sofa, and we will make it a bed of nails for you. You know what? It will be guaranteed to give you gangrene and anything else that we decide to put on the end of them nails. Man, them rusty nails are going to get you covered.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you selling one of those pull-out couch beds? Because I used to think those things were cool when I was a kid, but after having moved a ton of those,
they're
heavy and they're not comfortable at all.
Bro, have you ever had the ones with the bar in the middle of them too? Like the fold-out bar, and then you're like stuck with the bar in your back all night? Yeah, it's no fun. No fun at all. You might as well lay on a bed of nails. Be about as comfortable, I bet.
Yep, exactly.
Give me a bad presentation. Do people know what a telethon is anymore?
No, people don't know what that is.
Give me a bad pitch to donate to a charity.
A bad presentation about donating to a charity? We want you to donate to this charity. Now, I know what you're wondering. You may be asking, where does all the money go? And I'm here to answer those questions. To be frankly honest with you, 95% of your charitable donations goes to our CEO. You know that new Jaguar that he just bought? You bought it. You know that new wristwatch on his arm? You bought it. You know his wife's plastic surgery? The BBL? You bought it. That's where all of your money goes. About only 5% goes to the starving kids in Africa. So please, please, please donate money so that our CEO can live a great life and be happy. Because if he's happy, that means I get to keep my job. Thank you.
And if you give more right now, we might lower the percentage to 3% instead of 5% that go to the kids in Africa. So please, give our CEO that 97%, 98% that we need.
And if you give right now, we will give you this bookmark that you'll probably never use.
Courtesy of PB... No, I'm joking. all right, man. What you got for me?
This will be the last one. Sell me on a trip to SeaWorld. Or trip to amusement park. It doesn't have to be SeaWorld.
Well, no. I just had to... I had a really bad one right off the bat. come on down to SeaWorld. You know what? Come see Shamu. They'll think you're family. I tell you what, man. You and your wife would love to come to SeaWorld, ride down the big water slide, and pay us $1,000 for an entry fee. You know why? Because it's SeaWorld. We don't have Shamu anymore, but we have themes for every bit of the year. You know what? We have an Easter theme coming up, and since you're a pastor, what's going to be better than coming down here for Easter? Now, we really don't have too much to go off of that. We put one crucifix at the beginning of our park, and that's really what we're going to do for Easter. But you know what? Since it's a special Easter program, $1,500 for you. We're charging everybody else $2,000, and we're going to make everybody stand up, not give anybody any chairs or anything like that. We're going to do nothing about Jesus except have this crucifix out front. But you know what? It's going to be for you. Pastors are welcome. And actually, $2,500. Do I hear three? Do I hear four? Four, five, six, seven, 7,000. 7,000 is the admission price.
I was like, are you selling me on SeaWorld? Or are you selling me on a big mega church Easter program? Okay. All right. Last one. What's my last one?
A bad corporate numbers presentation. You know how they stand up there and I have to do this all the time where I have to present the numbers to a client. Do that in a poor presentation.
Oh, like a sales report? I know what you may be thinking to yourself. How are our numbers? How are sales? How's productivity? To be honest with you, I read the email 5 minutes ago, and what I really want to talk about is how we can keep people from stealing lunches in the break room. Thank you.
There you go. There you go. That's a great bad presentation.
Love how I circled back there.
It's a great presentation. Well, man, that was great. You ready to move on to our next segment?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Our next segment is the Eclair Donut, or our positive advice for the week. And I'll go first, man. So I've said this before, and it's really been true, especially because of the loss that we've had and things like that. It's been really hard. I'll be honest. It's been hard the last couple of weeks to keep up with things like the podcast and Last Week in Aviation and some of the other things that Chris and I are working on, plus doing the job stuff. It's hard to keep up with all that, man. But you know what? I tell you, you know that you're on to something whenever it gets really, really tough. Whenever it gets to the point where it's like, man, I could easily quit. It's that test that's going on. And I'm going to relate it to flying. So whenever you're flying and whenever you're in a plane, planes always take off going against the wind. And the higher the wind that's facing you, the higher the climb is going to be and the easier it'll be to take off. So just remember the hardest things that are going on in life. You know, I'm not sitting here calling, well, just push through and it'll be fine. It's not just that. Just remember that all that wind that's going across there is there to help you. And if it's, it might not seem like it right now, but whatever you're going through will get you to where you need to go and it'll get you to take off.
Cool deal, man. For sure. Mine is, and I don't know why, but I feel like this one, I need like some preaching music. Cause I'm gonna preach for a little bit.
Oh, you need to put some chords on here?
I need some keys. We'll put some keys on the background. But my positive advice is don't confuse a detour with your destination. I'm gonna say it again for the people on the back. Don't confuse your detour with your destination. No, seriously, on a serious point. Sometimes there are a lot of things that happen in our life and there are speed bumps in the road and we can think that that's our destination. But really, it's just a detour, man. And I'm sitting here the other day. I was thinking about where my life was at 5 years ago, man. And to be honest, it was in one of the worst parts of my life, man. It was in a bad season and a bad year and just not good. But I'm thinking about how good God has been in the past 5 years just to bring me at to where I'm at now. And that's not, I'm not bragging on me, man. I'm bragging on God, because it's for sure like all God. But like in that moment I was like, man, this is gonna be my life forever. And things weren't going out the way that I wanted them to. And it was just a hard thing. But I didn't realize that that was just a detour. And that wasn't my destination. And sometimes you have to take detours in order to appreciate the destination. Ooh, I'm going to say that again. Sometimes you got to take detours to appreciate your destination. And for real, when you get there, you'll appreciate the detours that took you there. Because it'll make you appreciate the things you have. So yeah.
Yeah, man, you appreciate the times. You don't realize it at the time, but you'll appreciate the time when that wind was blowing against you real hard and it didn't seem like you were going to make it, but you appreciate it because of how high you ascend afterwards. It's an amazing experience. And you know, we're all going through that to a certain extent, whether you're on the low end, whether you're on the high end, whether you're in the between point, we're all going through it. Can I get an amen? Nah.
Come on with somebody. See, even when you're in the interim, I said the interim, between the starting point and your destination, it's in the interim where you see God work.
And God's on, telling somebody. You today that he's going to have that permanent plan. And while you're in the interim, he's going to teach you how to receive the blessings that you will receive the rest of your life.
See, the interim is just temporary. But we don't live in the temporary. We live in the everlasting. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody. We better stop, boy. You better stop before I get the preaching.
I'm telling you,
boy.
We can start a church. Anyways.
Me and Mike could do... Me... No, all we right. Do not. Me and Micah, we will just sometimes do that, like, it is a game for us. And we've talked about bad sermons, but we will take like little objects or topics and be like, all right, give me a sermon about this, and we'll just go off preaching. It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yeah, man. I gotta brag on my boy Chris. He did one the other day where it was about dog food, and he brought up smelling like Alpo and Purina, and I was bent over laughing for about 5 minutes. Like, I think we both were. It was laughing to the point where it hurt. So I mean, good stuff, man. But I tell you what, it's time to rep all the stuff. Trash Can Nation, hit us up on Trash Can Network, man. Trash Can Network over on Instagram, Facebook, and you know we got it over on YouTube as well. However you're listening, we really, really appreciate it. Of course, I'm going to plug Last Week in Aviation. It's doing real well. If you like aviation news, we got that 10 minutes or less video over there, so check that out. But man, we got a lot of stuff cooking, and really enjoy the episodes. It's hard not to expand these episodes, man. It keeps seems like every week we keep creeping up there to where it's almost an hour long. So it's like,
yeah, man, for sure. And again, you guys go check out Last Week in Aviation for sure. You know, I'm not an aviation person, but Micah knows a lot and knows what's going on, and so like, please go check that out. He's put a lot of hard work into it. But yeah, man, I feel like it's time that we wrap the donut box up with that Jefferson Starship before we get to preaching again.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. And don't make me start preaching about Jefferson Starship. We will make a sermon about it. We will make a sermon about we built this city. It's like, and the word said that he built this. No, we ain't going to do that. All right.
All right, man. All right. I'm Chris.
I'm Micah.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast.
We built this city.